From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. We have got a really fun show for you today. We have actor and one-time Obama administration member, now game show host, Cal Penn, will be joining us later. I'll ask him how it feels to finally hit the big time. But first, I want everybody's indulgence. I want to ask our live audience here a little thing. Without me coaching or encouraging you before the show in any way, how exciting is it to see us in person?
Not that exciting.
It is that exciting. And if you out there in Radio Land would like to see what's gotten these completely uncoached people so excited, then come to our live cinecast next week. We'll be broadcasting our show live via satellite into a movie theater near you. You'll see our special guest Steve Martin, musical guests Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, panelists Mo Rocca, Tom Baudet, and Paula Poundstone, and all the things in our extended show that the FCC won't let us broadcast on the radio. For tickets, go to waitwaittickets.org. First, it's your chance to play one last time without knowing what we look like. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Nick Selby. I'm a transplanted New Yorker in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, hey, Nick. How are you?
Great, thank you.
How hard has it been to sort of translate your New York sensibility to Texas?
The pizza's really bad.
Yeah, that's a problem. I hope it makes up for it in other ways.
The barbecue's really good.
There you go. Well, Nick, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, it's the syndicated advice columnist for the Chicago Tribune. The column is Ask Amy. Amy Dickinson is here.
Hey, Nick.
Next, it's a comedian who'll be performing at Levity Live in West Nyack, New York this weekend, Mr. Maz Joe Brani.
Hello, Nick.
And finally, it's a humorist and author most recently of Alphabetter Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt Jr. is here.
Hey, Nick.
Nick, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here is your first quote.
This is our bleeping city. Stay strong.
That was baseball player David Ortiz speaking for just about everybody after a rough week in what bleeping city?
Boston.
Yes, indeed. Boston, Massachusetts. Things are finally getting back to normal in Boston. They let people out of their homes, they opened the streets, and the people started driving down them like lunatics. Everybody said, wow, those terrorists picked the wrong city to attack, mainly because nobody in Boston can pronounce a word with as many R's as Terra.
I think it's interesting that ballplayers have started going ahead and saying curses in their public...
Well, this is what happened. That was actually an interesting moment. They had this big ceremony before the first Red Sox game after the attacks, right? And David Ortiz, you know, the star player for the Sox, that was his first day back, and so they gave him the microphone. And that's what he said. He just said to the, you know, 40,000 people plus live television audience. And the head of the FCC himself tweeted, hey, David's being David. It's okay with me. When your city gets bombed, you get a total dispensation to drop F-bombs on TV. It's like, bomb gives you one F-bomb. That's how it works.
But just imagine Lou Gehrig. Tonight, I feel like the luckiest bleeping guy on earth.
Yeah, there's a
that
lot of
speeches.
That would
have been pretty awesome, actually.
But it rhymes.
Now that
you
think of it.
Yeah, like, you know, like, ask not what your bleeping country could do for you.
Yeah.
But what you could do for your bleeping country.
Yeah.
Right.
Step up.
Now, what happened, of course, was at the end of last week when these guys were caught who did the bombing, we found out they were Chechens. And people, you know, took to Twitter to denounce these dastardly Czechs, as in Czech Republic. And the Czech embassy in the U.S., this is true, had to put out a statement saying, hello, Americans.
Hello.
We are not Chechens. We are Czechs. The Czech Republic, you know, known for Václav Havel, Czech mix, that sort of stuff. Totally different thing. A little bit of confusion. We got it straightened out. This led to the House introducing the Terrorists Must Be Places We've Heard Of Act of 2013.
I got to tell you, Peter, as a Middle Eastern male, yes. I know that the whole Middle Eastern community was watching going, please don't be Middle Eastern. Please
yeah.
don't be.
Yeah, you totally won that lottery, man.
What, and then it came out. They were Chechen. We're like, yes. And then the next day they said, but they're Muslim. I was like, damn it.
No.
What I want to know, again, as a Middle Eastern male, is anytime something like this happens, white people start sending out ricin. Why is that? Like, do they have... Is it ready to go?
Like, yeah, we're all set.
Stamp is there.
Pre-addressed stamped envelopes.
Pre-addressed. It's a
what's
hey,
right,
man,
that's a
you do it your
thing.
Way, we'll we do it our way, okay? I don't get in your face about your game, you know? All right. Your next quote is from a man widely and publicly accused and then cleared of attempting to poison someone with ricin.
I thought they said rice. I don't even eat rice.
So that man had been wrongfully accused of sending a ricin-laced letter to whom?
President Obama.
Indeed, yes. This is what happened. While we were all paying attention to the bombing and the chase in Boston, last week the FBI arrested an Elvis impersonating conspiracy theorist and martial artist named Kevin Curtis in Mississippi in the charge of sending letters to President Obama, other officials with his poison, ricin. This week they let him go because it turns out he might have been framed by another martial artist slash musician slash conspiracy theorist jealous of Kevin's success as an Elvis impersonator. I need to point out at this juncture, I have not yet made anything up. Now, Kevin, the Elvis guy, upon his release, gave the best press conference ever in which he talked about his dog, Moo Cow, how he's been to jail 20 times but never been convicted of anything. And then he told the national media that in addition to everything else, he was also a licensed foot massager and he offered free foot massages to all the ladies. Still have not made anything up.
And didn't all this like go down in Tupelo, Mississippi?
Yes,
like
it all
how
happened
big
in Tupelo.
Is Tupelo? Like it's
well,
not a very
apparently
big...
it's not big enough to hold these two guns. Because what happened was is the FBI descended on this guy because there are clues in the letters as to who he was, and they didn't find anything in his house that could help him make ricin, which is difficult to manufacture. So we should have known it wasn't the Elvis impersonator, because whenever a guy does this, the neighbors always say, oh, he was so quiet, we never imagined. It's never like, oh yeah, that guy, he's a lunatic. He's an Elvis impersonating martial artist conspiracy theorist. Of course it's him. That never happens. Your last quote, Nick, is from Bill Clinton.
Your mother showed me some of your landscapes and animal paintings, and I think they're wonderful.
President Clinton was praising another man for his animal paintings at the opening of his presidential library. Who was it?
No, it'd be George W. Bush.
Yes, indeed. All five presidents, current and former, were there for the opening of the Bush Library. George W. Bush himself got up and said, I was always known as somebody who was less likely to be found in a library than to actually found one, said Mr. Bush of himself. So all this sudden nostalgia for President Bush has led to some discussion in the media over whether his brother Jeb might run for president next. But their mother, Barbara, said no, saying, quote, we've had enough Bushes, unquote. Asked to clarify later, a spokesman for the family came out, firmly put his hand over her mouth and said she was just talking about the landscaping at the library.
It was like, oh boy.
I've been to the Clinton Library, and one thing it has in it is a framed letter from Dom DeLuise.
Really? Of all people, Dom DeLuise.
If I got a letter from Dom DeLuise, I wouldn't frame it.
But, yeah. Nothing against the late Mr. DeLuise, but still.
No, nothing against him. But if you're a president and you have a library, surely. I don't know. Maybe Lincoln would have done it the same.
They should.
I can't imagine Thomas Jefferson, for instance, framing a letter from Dom DeLuise.
No.
Hanging it up.
Carl, how did Nick do in our quiz?
Nick, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done, sir. Thanks so much for playing, Nick.
Thanks very much.